The time now, 24 minutes to 12. Coming up, we're going to be chatting to Alderman JP Smith, the MACO member for safety and security. And they've just come out of a council meeting, or maybe they're still in that council meeting. It just depends how wayward the councillors were. But Alderman JP Smith, good to have you on the show.
Hi, Kino.
Did you pass your budgets?
Yes, sir. What? I think the entire meeting lasted less than 10 minutes. That's what happens when the ANC are not there.
You know you're full of nonsense. Anyway.
The point is that the same meetings happened elsewhere and everybody else was mature and didn't politicize things. But in Cape Town, they misbehaved. So, now is really not the time to play political
games.
Yeah,
that's what I was thinking.
To keep your eye on the ball.
Exactly. That's why I said you're full of nonsense. But anyway, JP, you guys have been working hard. Your teams are obviously also going to be part of the security element, making sure that people do what they have been asked to do to save lives, right? So let's talk about generally now, high level, the role that the city is going to play in all of this.
So there are Prov Joc meeting and the Prov Joints happens daily. Our staff are represented there in conjunction with SEPs are making the operational decisions. And in terms of that, the city has an obligation, because our staff are mentioned in the regulations, to enforce the regs. And that means from midnight tonight, our staff will start with SAPs enforcing those regulations, enforcing the lockdown. The provisions in the lockdown are widespread. And I'm anticipating very significant non-compliance, which is, for instance, is why we started yesterday driving with all of our vehicles up and down loud hailing in communities. Yep. So that they are forewarned. And our staff will be obliged to take action in terms of those regs.
Okay, so what should people know about what they can and cannot do? Now, obviously, for essentials, the ministers obviously had this press conference yesterday and there were lots of questions around it. But as far as the city is concerned, what can you, what can't you do in terms of movement, and who can and who can't?
So the critical issue is that you're supposed to stay home. I mean, in a nutshell, let's preface this conversation by saying we shouldn't be arguing about laws now. We're going to have this conversation by way of what the regulations say. But at this stage, everybody should be applying common sense, looking at our infection rate and realizing that if we carry on the current trajectory, we're going to end up with hundreds of thousands of infections and a very substantial number of deaths exceeding 10,000 if we do not change our behavior.
Yeah.
And that means that never mind what the law says, you should now be taking precautions to protect yourself and your family. And that means stay at home, avoid other people. And then there is a lot of detail around who is allowed to go to work and stuff in terms of the essential services. But in a nutshell, stay in your house, only go out for the purposes of doing the absolute essentials. And that is purchasing food or getting medical treatment or working if you're in an essential services category.
Okay. And then, of course, in terms of who an essential service is, we will put some of those things up. You can find it on ewn.co.za, and people shouldn't be taking chances. Someone called in to say that they received notification that the neighborhood watches won't be operational during this time, and they want to know why.
So on Monday morning at the Prov Joints, the city and province raised this. Because at that stage, the regs had not yet been published and it was unclear who was included and who was not or who would be exempted. And we asked, do the neighborhood watches form part of the exemption? Because in our estimation, they're a critical part of our safety and security infrastructure in this province. There are as many neighborhood watch members as all of traffic, law enforcement, metro police and SAPs doubled. So they are important to us. And in my estimation, in their absence, criminals will have more leeway than they should. So their presence on the street would be important. SAPS made it very clear that the neighborhood watches would not be allowed to patrol. We will continue to raise the matter and argue for the contrary. I've looked at my interpretation of the regs is that there's leeway within the regs to consider them part of the infrastructure, especially the accredited ones, in terms of those definitions. And I suspect in a week's time, if the crime rate does become alarming and shows deterioration, that SAPS will be forced to reconsider the position.
And then, yeah, well, what role would those neighborhood watches then play? Would it simply be a crime prevention? Because some people, I don't think, would be comfortable with other citizens telling them they can't go to the shop, asking them for documents, et cetera, et cetera.
So I think that's part of the concern by the state and by, I mean, some citizens who yesterday also contacted me to say, don't say that you want the neighborhood watches out on patrol, because some of those neighborhood watch members will misbehave and will set themselves up as authority over others, and it will cause a lot of conflict. And unfortunately, that may well happen. So it is going to be important that neighborhood watches understand that they are not the authority in enforcing the regs, that their job is to observe and report, and that they don't need to be patrolling to do that. To be, even if you're confined to your home, you're still observing what's happening in the street. You can still, between yourselves on the WhatsApp groups and otherwise that you maintain, observe and report. And in the meantime, I think it's an evolving situation. Even as of this morning, further detailed regs were coming out, directives defining and refining people's understanding of things. So this whole situation is very evolving. And we must understand that national government, and, you know, far be it for me to defend my political opponents, but that national government is under incredible pressure, and it's difficult to know exactly what the right thing is to do in every case. And that year we must all be a little bit forgiving and understand that we must work together. We're in a massive crisis, the likes of which we've never seen before. And we must be a little bit less critical and a little bit more supportive.
Yeah, totally agree with you. And obviously, SAPS is going to be the lead agency and everybody else is going to support. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, the military also, their duty there is support. They have arresting powers under these circumstances. And once they arrest, like with the city's peace officers, we hand over to SAPS. All your other constitutional rights apply. But the goal here is not to continuously test SAPS. If we are going to waste our energy with the good citizens trying to play policeman on everybody who is doing what they know they shouldn't do now, which in their heart they know is wrong and risky in terms of not helping to contain the spread of infection, then we will not be able to get to the criminals like we should, because there will be people who are going to be sneaking around at night, breaking into houses, doing what they do, who don't care for the regulations. Those are the criminals we want to catch. Please don't let us waste time and energy on the good people.
Okay, now, here's a question that was put to us by a gentleman out in Somerset West. He said that his mother-in-law, he owns two properties. They are opposite each other, right? The mother-in-law lives in her own apartment. He's got a tenant in the other property, and then the mother-in-law lives in her own apartment. And they regularly care for her, make her food, etc. Is he able to leave his house to make sure that she gets her food, etc., etc.? Or is she able to walk over to have a meal at their place?
So those are ones that are testing my own interpretive abilities of those regulations. Because if you open the regs, it's really just the first page that's applicable in terms of movement. So it's not a lot to read. I'm WhatsApping it to hundreds of people now all the time. You would be hard pressed to tell me what the answer to that to that question is. My guess is that no police officer who finds you under those circumstances, when you can verify that you're doing what you say you're doing, in other words, caring for the elderly, is going to find you to be wrong. But they should perhaps consider to have the mother stay across the road with them for that period of time.
Sorry,
and,
I'm laughing.
I mean, I saw the bit of humor that went around that said, make sure your mother-in-law is at her own house at midnight on Thursday. This is now the time, the next 3 weeks, to make sure we look after each other.
Yeah, no, I mean, I did suggest that to him, and I think he literally fell off his chair. I did say, at least if the mother-in-law stays with you, you'll know how strong your marriage really is. But no,
I think a lot of marriages are going to get tested in the next 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
That was a remark made to me by a professional person yesterday who said that people will also take a lot of strain. Cabin fever and people being indoors for a protracted period of time when you're accustomed to going about your work and your day, just the disruption of your routine, is already stress-inducing, yes. And they don't mean that facetiously. That is a real thing.
True.
And so this is maybe a time for us to rediscover a bit about there are positives here, to rediscover our families and the other passions we have in life that are generally obliterated by work. So this is maybe not all a bad thing. There are positive lessons to be learned out of this. For instance, the homelessness crisis. We are now under massive pressure to find homes for homeless people. There are provisions in place now that put extra compunction on us. This is a catalytic opportunity to try and grow the bed spaces from the 2,000 plus we have to maybe about double that. And those processes are now underway, so there might be a positive legacy on that front after the crisis.
Now, there is a question, a key question that the Premier kind of answered earlier, but the refugees at the church, what is happening with our refugees? They're plus minus 400 people. So what are the instructions to law enforcement?
There are about 500 between the ones on the sidewalk around SAPS and the ones in the church. They will be removed to a place identified by national government, land that they're providing. You'll remember for quite a while we had difficulty getting DHA on board. In the meeting with the Premier and the National Minister, the Minister and the Premier charted a way for us to get past that impasse. Land was made, was identified. Department of Public Works is facilitating access. The moment we get that confirmation that that is done and is confirmed, we will roll out tents, a water point, and sanitation services there, and they will be relocated. And the minister says after that, they will either need to reintegrate or repatriate. It sounds like he is also out of patience with him.
Okay, so but bottom line is they still be on the streets tomorrow until all of that stuff's sorted out.
No, I think that that will happen very speedily now. The pressure is on us to make sure that people are not on the street. After this, the same for homeless people. We're rapidly trying to facilitate spaces where we can relocate them off the street. And again, these present opportunities for counseling and reintegration under the pressure of the disaster, which maybe wasn't there before.
JP, we've got Alice in Oder-Westhof who's given us a call with a question. I don't know how similar it is to the one that I posted. Depends on the circumstances here. Alice, good morning.
Good morning. I'm in Oder-Westhof. And I have a mum who's bedridden in a retirement village two suburbs away from me. She's got a full-time carer with her. She needs care 24/7, so her carer doesn't leave the house. She's there to look after my mum. And I drive through, give her groceries weekly or every other day, and I also handle her medication. My mum is on a huge, it's quite an intricate amount of medication, and it's the medication for the next month is not going to arrive before lockdown closes. I know. The pharmacy is trying to get it to me on the weekend. I'm going to have to get in my car and drive to my mum. I have to.
Yeah, well, Alice, let me stop you right there. This issue was raised yesterday, and JP helped me out here, but you are allowed to do that. If you are caring for a frail mom, if wherever she is, I'm not sure which place she's at, if there's no care in place for her there to be able to do what you're saying you need to do, you are entitled to do that.
And what do I say if I get stopped? I'm just a person. I'm a nurse. I'm not wearing a uniform. I don't have a marked vehicle.
You'll have the medication with you.
Yeah, or groceries, one or the other.
JP?
Annex B of the regulations, subsection B, services. There's item 10, care services and social relief of distress provided to elder persons, mentally ill persons with disabilities, the sick and children. So if you're rendering that service, and I don't see that the regs make a differentiation between doing so commercially and doing so for a not-for-profit purpose, it is my estimate that you are covered, but I'm not a legal expert. I'm a politician. There's a difference between those. We will have to test that. But the common sense always prevails. If you have a person in crisis or in need, you are certainly not going to neglect such a responsibility because of an interpretation of the regs. Then do what needs to be done and argue the issue with anybody who takes issue with it.
Okay, and if they still give you trouble, give us a call, Alice, but you should be able to do it. Okay, let's go to Jenny and Constantia quickly. Hi, Jenny.
Hi, Kina. How are you?
Always good. Thank you very much. What is your question for JP?
Okay. JD, my son has been cooking and preparing frozen meals for clients and fresh meals for the next 3 weeks. Is he allowed to deliver it? Is he allowed to deliver his orders?
No. I can tell you that right now. JP, the answer there is no, right? I mean, Uber can't unless it's essential.
So, again, the regulations say that the processes of the production, distribution, and sale of food is permissible. But the restaurants can't be opened, the hailing services can't operate. So I don't exactly know what to answer you. I think Tina's instinctive reaction is probably right, but it is a gray zone, and I think you need to give us a day to digest the regs that came out last night and the new additional regulations that came out this morning to understand where these lie. And yep. Our call center, we are empowering with this information as best we can so that they can handle this. So give us time. The mayor will issue a statement today to help to clarify some of these matters.
Okay, so Jenny, on a daily basis, the show will be chatting to whoever we need to make sure that these things are clarified for everybody, because these regulations are going to change. It's a moving target.
Okay, could you give us that call center number in case we can phone that and get clarity on that tomorrow?
So can I just say the city's emergency call center, 021-480-7700, is where you can report any emergency situation, including non-compliance with the regulations.
Right.
That's our 107 call center. So 107 from a landline or 021-480-7700 from a cell phone. And I will pass on to Kino the disaster operations center number, also for people wanting to volunteer support or services or resources, okay, which is coming in quite significant numbers, for which I'm quite grateful.
Your question, though, is a business question, Jenny. So we've spoken to the Premier, to Tim Harris as well. So supportbusiness.co.za is the website you can go to. They also have FAQs there. Okay.
Okay, fabulous.
Okay, brilliant. So we have to wrap with JP. So I'm going to go to Jaco in Uistenbach, Vlakte. How are you doing, Jaco?
Fine yourself. Thanks, Kino. Kino, I have friends that have a small hay feed business in this area, horse food.
Mm.
Where do we stand with supplying our customers? I mean, we're talking about starving animals.
Essential, in my estimation, if you look at the regs, it says that the feeding veterinary services and the feeding of animals, et cetera, is deemed essential.
Yep.
So my interpretation is that you are exempt. But again, you know, get the regs off the internet or WhatsApp me and I'll reply with it, or get it from Kino and them and read it for yourself. But I think that one is reasonably clear.
Okay,
thank
brilliant.
You so much.
Thank you, Jaco. Thanks for the question. We're going to wrap up with the last two. So I've got Shaquille in Lansdowne, and I also have Wilhelm. Shaquille, a quick question from you.
Yeah, I'd just like to find out if both parents are essential workers. How do you go about if you need to drop your kids off for someone to look after them?
Listen, no one's going to allow you to leave your kid alone. So part of being an essential worker, I mean, it would be silly for anybody to suggest you can't drop the child off with your mom, for example. You will have a card to show that you are an essential worker, and I don't think any right-thinking official will stop you from doing that.
Okay, and on another question, just on that, I have a small business which I'm not registered, which I just sell chickens and stuff to people. Will I be allowed to sell that?
No. No, unless you're running a spaza shop somewhere, and government's made it very clear. So everybody from Chicken Licken to Nando's to whoever closes, unless you're a retailer, unless you're selling essential services in that retail store, you are not opening, you are not selling, you're not permitted.
According to the regulations, only the essential services. So the other products you sell, you're not supposed to continue selling.
Yeah. And then Wilhelm.
Yes, Kino. I'm in the property business, property rental business. If you've signed a lease agreement from the 1st of April and you have to move now from one house or one apartment to another one, can you do it?
No.
No.
No. No, it's called...
You must stay in the property that you're in at the time. If you're a foreign national and you're staying in a hotel or a B&B, you must remain in those premises, and that you're not supposed to be moving around. So the short
answer
is almost
certainly no. Let me explain something to you. This is a lockdown to save people's lives. Can you imagine every other person who'd signed a lease now decides to move home and has to move goods in? It's going to take five or six other people to do that. It's not going to be permissible. This is obviously emergency times under which we live. Your lease, remember, even if someone wants to go to court with you or whatever, they can't kick you out of where you are at the moment. It can't happen. It won't happen. There's no way they're going to allow it.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
I suspect you'll have to come to an amicable agreement between the lessor and the lessee around these circumstances. And I do seem to recall that the regs speak to the issue of tenancy somewhere. I would just need to go and look at that specifically. But again, download the regs, look at it. I'm pretty sure it does actually speak to the matter.
Okay, brilliant. JP, thanks for making your time available, man.
Thank you.
And that's Alderman JP Smith there, Mako Member for Safety and Security in the City of Cape Town. And that pretty much brings us close to the end of the show.